Revelation chapter 13. I'm actually going to try to cover this entire chapter this morning. The reason is it all goes together. Okay, and so we're only going to read the text that we're going to read, or verses 1 through 10, but I'll let you read the remainder after you get home today. But Revelation chapter 13, would you stand with me as we read from God's holy and precious word? Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet was like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of the life. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Have you ever just had problems reading? If anyone have an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Let us pray. Brother Michael DeLua, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Maybe it is good that I let you read the rest of that chapter after you get home. Today I ask you the question, whose side are you on? I just want you to think of that. That is the whole foundation, the whole message. Whose side are you on? In the last chapter, chapter 12, we saw Satan expelled from the heavenlies, and no more will he be able to stand before God or go before God and accuse the saints. Now, Satan's center of operation will be restricted to earth. Earth will be his main battleground. Jews and Christians will be the object of his fury and his hatred. And in this chapter, chapter 13, we're introduced to two beasts. The last chapter, we were introduced to the dragon, which of course was Satan. In this chapter, we're introduced to the two beasts. One that rises up out of the sea, and from the beginning, I'll let you know who that is. That is the Antichrist. The one that rises up out of the earth, beginning in verse 11, that is the false prophet, who builds the world's false religion. And what we have in the last two chapters, we have the unholy Trinity. Chapter 12, we saw Satan. Chapter 13, the beginning of chapter 13, we see the Antichrist, the son of Satan, Satan in the flesh. And in the last part of chapter 13, we see the false prophet, or their Holy Spirit. And as we read here, the first thing we're going to examine is the beast that rises out of the sea. We read how John is standing on the sand of the sea and sees this beast rising up out of the sea. Now, the sand of the sea is referring, I believe, to the multitude of humanity. People. letting Scripture interpret Scripture, we go back to where God promised Abraham that he would make of him a great nation and they would number as the sand of the sea. Now this is all the multitudes of the earth that John is standing upon. The sea itself, I believe, to be symbolic of the great unrest that will be in the world at that time. The turmoil, the dissatisfaction, the unrest that will be present at this point in time. You know, we look at conditions of the world today, it's not hard to see the unrest. Protesters, rioters, you know, that every day when you turn on the news, somebody is not happy. Have you noticed that? There's someone who's not happy. It may be the Jews as they fight against the Palestinians. It may be disgruntled factory workers. It may be someone who feels that they are not getting fair treatment. But somebody is unhappy. Now the big thing's Occupy Wall Street. And I guess that has expanded to occupy wherever, you know. But the bottom line is that people are not happy. And I want you to understand that as we continue in the history of mankind, this unrest is not going to get better. It's going to grow and get worse and worse. You know, I think there are people who have this mentality that one of these days we're going to reach this utopia. We're going the wrong way. Okay? Unrest is growing and getting worse. That's where this beast comes into play. And take note, I want you to notice that it is called, or he is called, a beast, meaning a wild animal kind of individual. And that gives you the characteristics of his personality, you know. The world, this unrest as it grows, they're going to be looking for a man with all the answers. And as the beast starts out, he starts out as the white horse of Revelation chapter 6. Conquering in peace and having all the answers. But make no mistake, he is a beast that will orchestrate the greatest bloodbath against Christians and Jews and all of humanity who would stand against him as the world has ever known. It's going to be, for lack of a better way to put it, very, very ugly. We look at the text and we see a further description as having 10 horns and 7 heads and 10 crowns. And does that sound familiar to you? You look back in chapter 12. It's a remake of the dragon of chapter 12. You see the family resemblance? You know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. And I believe that. Satan trying to recreate his kingdom to look like God. This Antichrist is a remake of Satan in the flesh, the son of Satan, literally. And if you've seen the Antichrist, or when you see the Antichrist, you will have seen Satan himself. But we see the 10 horns, the 7 heads, the 10 crowns, and what it's referring to is the kingdom of the Antichrist. And most believe that this is the revived Roman Empire that will be led and headed by the Antichrist himself. We see further character of this beast. It's compared, he said, he's like a leopard, reminding us of the swiftness and agility that he will be able to sweep the world. I want to tell you, 7 years is not very long. But from start to finish, he will have conquered the world in 7 years. He begins, as I said before, peaceably. But then that midpoint of the tribulation, he unleashes his wrath and his fury. Says he has the feet of a bear, reminding us of the strength and destructive power that he'll have. He may start peaceably, but friends, he will not end peaceably. The mouth of a lion, reminding us of his fierce appetite and his crushing power. He will not rest until the world bows down to him. That's where we're going in the tribulation period. Verse 3 mentions, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. And there are different opinions about this, and I'll share a couple of them with you. You can make up your own mind. Most believe, or a lot believe, that this is the rebirth of the Roman Empire. That, you know, the Roman Empire was wiped out or ceased to be in existence back in the 5th century, I believe it was. And they think this deadly wound being healed is the rebirth of the Roman Empire led by the Antichrist. And even today, you know, Rome's not taken seriously today. There's coming a day when it will be. I believe that this Roman kingdom will be reborn. I'm just not sure this deadly wound that's administered to the Antichrist is talking about that. I think it is a literal deadly wound. And I think it's the Antichrist trying to be like Jesus. Okay? And as the world sees this deadly wound that is healed, it will certainly be amazed. And this 10 federated kingdom led by the Antichrist as he's, for lack of a better way to put it, reborn, brought back from the dead, the world will be ready to follow. And the Antichrist, this beast that we read in chapter 13, will successfully bring the world together into one world kingdom. That's what we want, you know. I say we. That's what the world wants. That's the desire of the world. And that's what we're looking for. As a matter of fact, look at what it says. It says they worship the dragon, saying, who's like the beast and who's able to make war against him? They worship him. Can you imagine worshiping this creature? Well, he's the Superman that the world has been looking for. And they will fall for him hook, line, and sinker. Because he'll be someone who's able to take the economy and make sense of it all. I'll be honest with you, I just don't get the economy today. You know, the people who make millions that are invested in the stock market, I just can't wrap my mind around the economic system. And the reason is because people lose and gain fortunes and never literally invest a dime. It's all done on computer. One day the computer says your stock is up and you're ahead by maybe thousands or hundreds of thousands or even millions. But tomorrow that computer can say you're behind and you lose it all. I don't get that. I'm more of a what's in my billfold kind of fella. You know? But listen, there's economic unrest throughout the world that this Antichrist will have the answer. As a matter of fact, he will move us toward that one, or bring us to that one world economy. There are a lot of people, a lot of nations in the world that do not like the concept of the dollar being the American standard. You know that? I mean, they're not happy about that. Because it gives us a great advantage. You know, when you go to a foreign country, the exchange rate is usually in favor of the dollar. But this Antichrist will have the answers to the economy problem. He will have the answer to the unrest in the Middle East. Can you imagine the man that can walk into Jerusalem and please the Palestinians as well as the Jews? This is the kind of man he'll be. He'll be the man that can figure out how to give Israel their temple and keep the Muslims at bay. Verse 5 says, he's given a mouth speaking great things. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? We're coming up on election time before long. Have you been watching any of the election previews, the debates? What do politicians do? They promise great things, don't they? Who gets elected? The one who promises the greatest thing? It doesn't matter that they don't deliver. I don't really believe that any man we put in the office today can make such a profound difference anymore because of the mess that we're in. But this Antichrist would have a mouth speaking great things, making great promises, promises of peace and prosperity. And the thing is, he'll have the ability to back a lot of it up. Verse 6 says he'll absolutely have no respect for God. He opens his mouth in blasphemy against God. And not just against God, but in verse 7 we read how he makes war with the saints. And literally it says he overcomes them or conquers or defeats them. If you're alive at this time in the tribulation period, as a child of God, and as I have taught before, I believe the rapture has already occurred at this point. But I also know that there will be people saved in the tribulation period. But let me offer you this. If you're thinking of putting it off, well, when I see it in the tribulation period, then I'll be saved. No, you won't. Okay? No, you will not. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. All right? But for the saints of God at this point, I mean, it's grim. It'll be a bloodbath as the Antichrist, in retaliation for refusal to worship him and become a part of his economic system, it's going to be bad. That's all, you know, it's just going to be bad. Matthew 24:22 describes it as this, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Oh, listen, if God just let it go, all of mankind will be wiped out. And it's not just the Antichrist. If you read in verse 11 and throughout the rest of the chapter, you see his right-hand man, the unholy spirit, the religion of the day of the Antichrist. This is, of course, Satan's false prophet that moves the world toward a one-world religion. And listen, man is religious, okay? You have the concept that we're not religious. We are religious as mankind, okay? We just want religion on our ground. We want religion that will please our desires. And we look at this Antichrist, and he's very charismatic also. It says he deceives those who dwell on the earth by his signs. He'll be able to work miracles. He'll make fire come down from heaven. He will set and have an image of the beast, the Antichrist that we just talked about, set in the temple, the abomination of desolation. And it says in the latter part of verse 13 that he will give life to this beast, to this idol. And it also says, now grab this because this is it's really interesting, that he causes all to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. We know this to be the mark of the beast. The number of a man, as it says, 666. He brings it to the point where he takes all choice away from you. You know? If you don't have this mark, you'll not be able to buy groceries. You'll not be able to sell anything. You'll not be able to survive, basically. Many people think that this mark that it's talking about is, you've heard of the RFID computer chip, that little thing as big as a grain of rice, and they think, some think it will be inserted in you and it can be scanned, and it could be, but that word mark is a mark made by etching, engraving, or branding. I believe it's going to be a visible mark that will identify what side you're on. Now, they may also insert this computer chip because, you know, big brother, keep an eye on you type mentality. But I believe it's going to be an obvious choice. You're going to be marked as a child of the Antichrist. You make your decision to support Him, to give your allegiance to Him, or you refuse and face death. And you say, "Oh, Brother Doug, I won't fall for that." Really? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That's talking about people who had heard the gospel and refused the gospel. Now, I mentioned a while ago that if you think you're going to go into the tribulation period, recognize this stuff, and be saved, you are wrong. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For those who have refused, God sends strong delusion, and you will eat it up just like the rest of the world. You mean God would do that? Yes, He did it to Pharaoh in the Old Testament. Time and time again, it says He hardened Pharaoh's heart, right? Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. That's how convincing it's going to be. Friends, it's serious time. We've just went through the establishment of the kingdom of the Antichrist, the establishment, the support that's offered through religion by the second beast, the false prophet. And I want you to grab verse 9 here. Okay? If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. First of all, he that has an ear, let him hear. You know what that means? How many of you have ears? Would you raise your hands? That applies to everybody. He that has an ear, let him hear. What he's saying, if you're breathing, you need to take note. You need to listen to what this chapter is telling you. And what it's telling you is that it's choice time. Time to decide. One thing I learned as a child very quickly is that choices have consequences. My dad was from the old school. And he tended to, when I made bad choices, he tended to deliver consequences with a piece of leather wrapped around his waist. I learned consequences very quickly. And I praise God for that. Okay? Today, I mean, I learned how to act because of stuff like that. Okay? Because of discipline of my father. I learned that there were consequences. If you rob a person, there are consequences. If you commit murder, there are consequences. Listen, what I want, we all must grab is that for our actions, there are consequences. And today we come to the point of making a choice, choosing whose side we're on. I made a choice many years ago. Got down on my knees, asked Jesus to save me. I chose Jesus Christ. And beloved, during this period, I believe with all my heart, I'm gone, okay? My view's from heaven at this point. I've made my choice. Have you? Joshua 24:15, the children of Israel was given a choice. They were told, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Understand, the choice is yours. You have to make a decision today. As for you, whose side are you going to be on? There's only two sides. There's the side of Jesus, the Son of God, who gave his life upon Calvary for you and for me. And there's the side of Satan, that old dragon that's bent on the destruction of all of God's creation, including and more specifically you. You have to make a choice. Moses' words in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he said, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. The choice that you make today has consequences. If you choose Jesus, the consequence or the result of your choice is heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Beloved, there's that thought of the rapture, that's just good news. Amen. I can't imagine what Jesus has prepared for those who've placed their faith and trust in him, but it sure is fun to try. But then, those who will walk out of here choosing Satan, you read chapter 13 really, really closely, because it's what lies ahead. See, here's the good news. The good news is that verse 10, he who leads captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. What he's saying is the law of sowing and reaping. Last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, Satan's going to have his heyday. It will be a bloodbath of Christians and Jews, and it's going to just be horrible. But see, in the middle of all this, Jesus reminds him, look, remember this, you reap what you sow. This one who's doing the killing, this one who's carrying into captivity, oh, it's coming back around, because you know what? Jesus is coming back. And there's going to be a great battle at the end of the tribulation period, and Jesus is going to win. He's going to win. Now, whose side are you on? As a Christian, we may have challenges. We may face persecutions. But I'm reminded in what Jesus shared there in verse 10. I'm reminded the words of Paul, the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why will these Christians stand the persecution? Why will they refuse to bow a knee to this Antichrist? Why will they say, no, I won't receive your mark? Because they know that the persecutions of this world are not worthy to be compared to what Jesus has prepared for them. Listen, choose your side. That's my message. Choose your side today. I have figured out you don't choose your side in the middle of battle. You choose your side before the battle. Okay? Just makes good sense. You know where you stand that way. You know who's on your side that way. You need Jesus. Choose your side today. Heaven or hell? Jesus or Satan? Choose. Brother Doug, I'll choose later. Oh, you just chose. Refusing to choose, you just chose. Okay, and you chose Satan. Choose your side. Make a conscious choice. I'm either going to choose Jesus today or I'm going to choose Satan. Make a choice. You will. Choose Jesus. If you're not a child of God, I want to invite you to come as we have this invitation. Come over to the winning side. Jesus came to this earth And he gave his life in payment for your sin because you sinned. Okay? And somebody had to pay for your wrongdoing because there are consequences. Right? Consequences of your sin is death. But Jesus took your consequences, nailed them to the cross of Calvary. And now today you have to choose. Are you saved? Have you chosen Jesus? If not, this invitation's for you. Maybe there's another need in your life. I don't know what it is. Perhaps you need to come for baptism. Perhaps you need to come for church membership. Whatever it is, I would encourage you, choose Jesus. Choose to listen to him. Choose to respond to his invitation. And let Jesus have his way. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for revealing your word to us. I pray, Lord, that this morning in this invitation, that every person present will now make a serious and deliberate choice. For those who are lost, I pray that today they'll choose salvation in you. For those of us who are saved, I pray that we'll choose to answer your call and to respond to your leading. I pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name.